We are in quite a health crisis in the U.S., even though it doesn't feel like it. And aside from that, 90% of Americans don't eat enough vegetables. So we have this like vitamin deficiency. When you're in an intense environment and you're working towards your goals, like you actually do need like comfort food. But like a salad won't do in those like late night working moments. A lot of people are still single, pretty young. Like no one's like gonna give you a hug when you get home. Like your hug is the meal. And a good friend of mine is a nurse practitioner who specializes in children with special needs. And her own brother actually has special needs as well. And she was like, this is the best thing ever. At an early age, children need to be eating vegetables, of course. So you have this kind of urgent problem, which is how do I feed the children what they need when they are so resistant to eating it? And that's something else that Etchy solves for. But all of this is kind of like the beauty of building in public and building a community early on.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the Duck Pond Podcast. Today's guest is Veronica Panzardi, the founder of Edgy's Veggies and a former investment banker who, after juggling the corporate lifestyle and late night takeouts, created air-dried kale sprinkles that you can shake into any meal to help busy people build healthier habits one shake at a time. Veronica, I'm super excited to have you on.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Now, I want to dive into Edgy's Veggies, but I want to dive into everything leading up to that. So I want you to tell me, you know, about your investment banking days and what part of that do you still carry with you?
Yeah, I'm very grateful for my time in investment banking for a lot of reasons, but it was the first thing I did out of college. So it's the reason that I'm in New York City and that's where my business is based. That's where Edgy's is based. I basically was there for about 5 years. It was at a French bank and I had great managers and a great team. But the truth of the matter is you spend a lot of time working really late and it's pretty intense hours. So honestly, I wasn't really taking care of myself and not a lot of investment bankers are. They just don't have a lot of time to. And so I was just like really used to eating a lot of takeout. And eventually I looked at my life and I was like, you have to do something to add healthier food into your life or else you're going to like, you know, have longer ramifications down the line. So that's kind of the origin of Edgy's.
I like that. So you became conscious of, you know, a little bit of a decline in health.
Yeah, but also, you know, we all know that we can, you know, eat more vegetables, eat less takeout, eat less processed foods. But there are moments where you know for your life, that's the best option for you. And whatever you have in front of you is what you're going to eat that day, whether it's healthy or not. And so I guess for me, the conundrum was how do I make anything healthier? Not like, I know it's salad's healthy, but how do I make like a plate of pasta healthy? Indian food takeout, which is often healthy on its own, but you know, how do I even make it even healthier?
No, absolutely. And we'll definitely dive into all those topics. So a question I do have is how did you go from investment banking to saying, you know what, screw this, I'm going to make my own thing?
Oh, that was a long
moment.
That was a long journey. I always wanted to work in food. I even have like a little notepad that I brought from my desk when I left my bank it had like scribbles of like a nice grocery store that would like teach people who are people who are coming more about the food than they get right now, like give them like full stories and biographies behind all of the different brands and really kind of like value add more than the average grocery store today. Pipe dream. But I've always loved food. And I kind of like was toying with how to do it because I didn't want to necessarily work in the food industry as a chef because I think it's a really tough life. You don't get to spend your holidays with friends. Weekends are not for you. They're for the business. And so I think there were some lifestyle elements, even though I love to cook, that kind of prevented me from going that route. So you're kind of left with a few other things, which kind of pointed me to the CPG area. And I knew that Edgy's was something that I used and that the people around me used and found helpful. So I believed in it. And you know, I think the main impetus to leave was that I believed in it so much.
I believe that's so pretty. Yeah, absolutely. And That also does lead into my next question, which, why did you pick kale?
It's just really nutritionally dense and it's simple. I think a superfood food blend is something that people are really interested in going forward. But as far as like simplicity for me as a first-time founder, low startup costs versus like creating a blend, I think kale was simple. Everybody knows it's healthy. And I didn't have to do a lot of explaining on that front. So that was the reason. It has a tons of vitamins, nice fiber, even a little protein. It's a great vegetable.
I love that. So when you came up with it, it was very nutrition first orientated.
Oh, completely. I mean, that's the whole point of veggies, is that you deliver nutrition without a lot of strong flavor. And that was really what kale did. I mean, when you dehydrate most dark green vegetables, they kind of have this like neutrality to the flavor. It just mutes it a little bit. So when you add it to other food, it just kind of like sneaks in.
I love that. So, you know, it's a super topper. You can just put it on pretty much anything.
Exactly. A super topper. Yeah. We're working on iterations of that concept too.
Sweet. So what was the thing that surprised you the most from switching from banking to CPG and veggies?
Well, it's completely different. So many things surprised me. I think one of the bigger ones was that the businesses in CPG are often family-owned businesses. And even brands that you may see, you know, all over the place in every Whole Foods, they may still be run by like four or five people. And they're just cranking out. And so they're not necessarily huge companies. One that I kind of point to, which is huge, and it's in every grocery store, is Bob's Red Mill. And it's actually the founder kept it in the family. So he said to his employees over time, like, I want you guys to build this and profit from this alongside me. And so he gave equity to all of his employees. And when he passed, they kind of carry the torch because they're, you know, invested. And there are tons of brands that have that kind of like family story, maybe some of it more profit oriented, but I think a lot of CPG businesses that you may think are huge are actually really small.
That's really surprising and very interesting. I want to talk a little bit about your mission, and you want to build healthier habits for people. And how does that mission shape your day-to-day decisions while running Edgies?
I mean, it's at the core of everything. I think we are in quite a health crisis in the U.S., even though it doesn't feel like it. It's a health crisis, unless it's like COVID, is not, it, you can't, it's more of like a long-term epidemic. So you feel, you know, we know that it's high levels of obesity, 90% of Americans. And then aside from that, 90% of Americans don't eat enough vegetables. So we have this like vitamin deficiency. It's pretty widespread. It's pretty well recorded. And so I think that has a huge impact on our ability to be, you know, good citizens, good partners, good parents, good friends, and our longevity also over time. We know that Americans have lower longevity than a lot of countries that are much less economically developed. So we have something in the food space, which is an observation of obviously like our society as a whole, which is that people aren't getting high quality lives. And so I am hoping to do my small part in that. And I think there are also a bunch of other incredible founders and companies. I'd point to maybe Grunes and maybe Fiddle Spoon, who are trying to do the same thing. And I think we all are in this together because the problem is so big that you can actually layer all of these products together to get to where you need to be instead of really just doing one.
No, absolutely. You know, I think it's such a widespread, you know, like, as you said, you know, epidemic. And I feel like the consumer is becoming more and more conscious over time. And they're starting to choose, you know, alternatives and things like Edgies, where they really want to prioritize their health and, you know, really put something into themselves that's actually good for them and nutritious and
natural. Yeah, I also have a lot of empathy for people who may feel constricted, because the two biggest constraints, according to, I believe, the Health Institute, is time, cost, and knowledge of how to prepare healthy veggies. So that those are kind of the things that we tackle with edgies, because we know people are busy. Times are tough. Things are expensive. The economy is tough. So they may not necessarily have time to come home early from work and make a salad. And so I think also edgies is a product that comes from a real place of empathy for people who are, you know, busy taking care of their kids, taking care of themselves, and they don't have a lot of time to do more.
I love that you're really coming from a place of empathy, and you have yourself, you know, have struggled with, you know, what you just mentioned.
Yeah. And my brother's in medical school and he chugs Pediasure because in the hospital, you're not supposed to take very long breaks. So he has like 5 minutes to eat, and a lot of the doctors are eating, like scarfing down protein bars. It's like really ultra processed, like not good food. And I think that says a lot, right? These are people who are supposed to be they know the most about health out of anyone in our society, and yet even they struggle because of time, not because of lack of knowledge.
No, absolutely. I think that's one of the greatest ironies in, you know, the medical industry, where these are health professionals, you know, they're the higher echelon of health, and they are limited on time, and they can only eat processed foods to help them get to the next spaceship.
Yeah, but even like really wealthy guys, like the founders of KKR, I watched an interview. They basically invented private equity. Really rich guys, and they were talking about how back in the day when they were analysts or associates, young, they would even just order McDonald's because they were so busy, and they were just like, when you're in an intense environment and you're working towards your goals, like, you actually do need, like, comfort food. I don't know how to explain it, but, like, a salad won't do in those, like, late-night working moments. And so, like, I remember people used to order, like, really, like, heavy food at the end of the day, because you, like, no one's going to, like, a lot of people are still single, pretty young. Like, no one's, like, going to give you a hug when you get home. Like, your hug is the meal. And so I think a lot of people, I understand that they look for maybe unhealthier foods, and I get it. But you can also add a little veggies to them now.
No, absolutely. And I do relate to that. You know, sometimes you just don't have the time. And food is one of the first things that goes to the wayside.
For sure. Unfortunately.
Unfortunately. I do want to dive into, you know, you being a founder of Edgies and what that means. You know, you're juggling so many hats, design, sourcing, brand operations. What hat did you unexpectedly fall in love, and, you know, which one do you dread putting on?
Good question. I love product development. I love, like, thinking of the product, feeling the product, developing it, kind of like in my own little cocoon world. I started making edgies in my East Village apartment. I had a dehydrator, like, plunked into this, like, tiny space. It was, like, a big dehydrator like this, and, like, a big microwave, and it had no place there. But yeah, so I started doing it myself, and I think I have, as a cook myself too, I have a very particular sense of texture and flavor. And so I think that's something I'm well suited to kind of naturally, but also on the side of things that I struggle with, I think the world of e-commerce and the world of marketing is really a whole ball game. And I give a lot of credit to people who are very good at it. Also, like, social media, I had to learn all about. And I think I'm finally starting to get good at it after, like, a year and a half. But you really have to learn algorithms. Like, you think you can just post the same thing on TikTok and Instagram, and you can't. It's different. It's, like, different space, different audience, different world, different algorithm. And so just managing a social media account is really quite difficult. And I think a lot of people speak ill of influencers. I think it's a little bit of a derogatory term, and they are so talented. And I speak as somebody who, you know, has gifted products to influencers, you know, tried to work with them. They're the future of selling goods. Every single brand across the board, bar none, is working through influencers and relies on them to sell their goods. So it just simply is like the new TV commercial, if that makes sense. They're just it. And anyone who thinks they can get around that world or doesn't give it credit is just in the past. They're wrong. That those days are over.
You know, and I do find it so interesting how much overlap there is between social media and CPG, because you're trying to find your audience, you're trying to play the game a little bit, the algorithm, to see what really resonates with the person you're trying to interact with.
Yeah, I mean, the algorithms are really good tools because they obviously, on like the big tech side, they're incentivized to keep people on the platform. But that means that really great content, regardless of how much marketing spend is behind it, does better than a lot of things that you spend marketing dollars towards, which means that smaller brands have a chance to make as many impressions as big brands that are paying for that attention. And so I think you're seeing so many small businesses and small brands because of that reality.
Absolutely. I think it's equalizing the playing field a little bit.
Completely. I think there are a lot of evils to social media too, but in this scenario, it's a good thing, I think.
Absolutely. So you recently launched in 2024. Earlier you mentioned it's been a year and a half. What piece of feedback, you know, surprised you the most? And what would you say to yourself?
Yeah, I quit my job in May of last year and I launched in January. So it was a quick turnaround, but we've just launched this year. What have I learned? Was that the question?
Yeah. What piece of early feedback surprised you the most?
I had to learn a lot about the food industry. So a lot of the ways in which you sell food products, like really, like if you are onboarded at a grocery store, is by tasting. So you go and you stand at a little table and you show people your products and they taste it. And if they like it, they'll go buy it. And this is like the number one way to boost sales, which is kind of interesting because when you have a product that advertises itself as flavor neutral, that doesn't typically work that well. And so for me, in some moments, I've had to go to the drawing board and be like, okay, like I can't rely on these kind of typical selling points and selling mechanisms and trying to be a little bit more creative on how to get people to understand how to use the product, understand the value prop. So that's obviously really tricky, but it's because the product is genuinely a new product. There's nothing else like edgies on the market. So I think, you know, the cost of being a visionary. But no, it's really tough too, because nobody can really help you. You have to just ideate yourself and figure out a way around it.
That's incredible. You know, you're creating something that's so new to the space. How do you navigate that?
It's really hard. It's really hard because I think a lot of people, like I was saying, like this is an industry that is dominated by families. And a lot of times that means that people who are in charge of grocery stores and who are buyers and like key stakeholders are, you know, really seasoned. Maybe they're a little bit older. And so they don't necessarily like see the vision. And so that's a huge challenge. And for me, it can be really difficult, especially as a solo founder, because I have to keep believing and pushing and trying. So I think it's hard, but nobody said being an entrepreneur was easy. So here we are.
I'm still moving. You know, you did launch pretty recently, but I do want to ask, you know, looking back at your day one self, what would you tell her knowing what you know now?
I think I would have liked a co-founder. Co-founders are great because you can split the work, because it's a lot of work, and you can also work quicker, go faster, be smarter if you pick a good co-founder. But I think what I feared at that point, which is also a good point, could have been the opposite advice. If I had picked a co-founder and didn't like them and they weren't pulling their weight and didn't work out. And I think that can be also devastating. So I think try to pick a really good co-founder or, you know, get somebody on board that can really add a lot of value.
No, absolutely. And a lot of people, they do say, you know, not to go into business with family or friends. So in some way, you could have saved yourself from potential arguments.
Yeah, I think the irony is that most, like even venture capital firms, they don't invest in you until you're very later stage, unless you're like a celebrity or something. And so they usually just tell you to raise friends and family. So they say don't work with friends and family, but you can also, it's also like the number one way to get capital before you launch, which is that and like crowdfunding, which is also usually a few friends and family. So I guess that's the running advice, but it's also the only way sometimes.
Absolutely. So I know you've heard some powerful stories while researching you. You know, there was talk about kids with autism who struggle with food, adults with GI issues. How do these stories reach you, and how has that changed the way you operate and the way you think?
Really organically. So I've been posting, well, I slowed down the pace, but for the first year I posted every day, sometimes multiple times a day. And so I built like a nice audience of people to help me build the business and give feedback in those early stages. And a lot of people reached out with excitement about the product because of things like trouble consuming fresh vegetables for whatever reason, which, you know, as I described, wasn't really my vision when I built the product, but it's another benefit of veggies. It's technically a processed food because it's air dried, but it's literally just like air drying. Like, it's very simple. So it's a simply processed food, minimally processed food. But that process actually unlocks the whole category of vegetables for a lot of people. So if you have GI problems, if you have Crohn's and you're dealing with like irritable bowel syndrome, this can be really, really helpful. And then on the other side, I have worked with like integrative nutritionists and in the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. And a good friend of mine is a nurse practitioner who specializes in children with special needs. And her own brother actually has special needs as well. And she was like, this is the best thing ever. Because for a lot of children with special needs, it can be overwhelming to try new textures and flavors and colors. And so because edgies just looks like a little spice in food, it doesn't feel like it's a new food. But obviously, at an early age, children need to be eating vegetables, of course. So you have this kind of urgent problem, which is how do I feed the children what they need when they are so resistant to eating it? And that's something else that edgies solves for. But all of this is kind of like the beauty of building in public and building a community early on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I do love how edgies is solving a real issue when it comes to, you know, these kids with disabilities, because that's something I would have even thought of, you know?
Yeah, it's awesome. And actually multiple nutritionists who work with picky eaters have kind of used the product and used it on their clients.
That's incredible. Where do you see edgies in 3 to 5 years? Maybe new flavors?
Yeah, I would love to do some new flavors. I think before we do like a real retail launch, we'll need to do some new flavors, which is really exciting because everyone loves tasting things. And I want to make sure to launch that with our Instagram followers first. There's an amazing beauty brand that just launched in Sephora, but they've been like D2C forever. They're called Experiment Beauty. And they, in the early stages, literally sent like the test tubes of their product to just people who followed them on the internet. And they were like, if you want to try it, sign up for a newsletter. And they built kind of this community of people who were trying the products in the super early stages, just as like little samples. But their whole shtick is that it's two female chemists. They do all of their own formulation in-house. They literally have a laboratory where they make everything. And so they're scientists and they lead with science. And I think for edgies, we've always kind of built this like community that we bounce ideas off of and talk to directly. So I think as we do our flavors, I would love to just like send people like little trials and be like, which flavor do you like the best? Because it's super easy to do and it's so much fun.
No, absolutely. And I think it's a great way to interact with the community, especially since you're building one. Your friends, that's that way.
I agree.
If there was a wild flavor that you can just magically make up here, what would it be?
I think people like cheese. So I think something... I like bold flavors. I like... This is crazy. When I eat like a potato chip, I like check both sides to see which side has the most flavor. And I like put that on my tongue. So I like really like... And then I used to eat like, you know, a cheddar, like the cheddar popcorn. I would like eat it with a spoon because I didn't want the cheese to get on my fingers and like waste it. You know how like the cheese gets on your fingers? I was like, no. So I would like tip it to that with like a plastic spoon in college. Just like fully maniac, but I love flavors. So I think maybe like something that evokes that like cheesy cheddar vibe of like a smart food, but I think edgies has to be health first. So I want you to still be able to add a ton of veggies in without adding too much like salt and sugar that you can't add that many more veggies. So I think it's a fine line, but I think using things like cashews and nutritional yeast can be a great way to add that cheesy flavor with some protein, with some nutritional value, but it's really delicious. And actually one of my favorite ways to eat edgies is to open a bag of popcorn, toss in your edgies, put in some nutritional yeast or cheese, and just like shake it all up. And it's like the best way to eat popcorn ever. It's like even better than just...
Absolutely. And, you know, interestingly enough, we did have a previous guest on the show who actually is creating cashew parmesan.
I know her.
Oh, yeah.
Farmer Foodie?
Yes. Miss New York.
I know her very well. We were at a Fancy Food Show together.
Oh, wow. What was that experience like?
It was great. She's amazing. She kind of has been a little bit of like a mentor figure to me. She's a few years ahead of me, like 3 years. And I love her product. And it was really cool to see people responding to her product. But it's funny, like, I mean, I was talking about GI problems and children with special needs. And for her, her like surprise niche that she didn't really imagine is kosher folks, because they can't have cheese in a lot of contexts. And so like all of the kosher buyers were coming to her. And it's funny, like you make something and then it helps like somebody else like really needs the product. And that's the beauty of food. It helps you connect to so many people.
Absolutely. And you don't know who it's going to connect with.
No, you don't. You really don't. Not at all.
Well, Veronica, this has been a lovely conversation. Where can people find you in edgies?
At edgies.com, at edgies.com, and also on Instagram. We have a lot of fun, so check me out. Oh, and we're on TikTok Shop and Amazon.
Beautiful. Those are the two best places to be right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it then. Well, thank you, Veronica, for your time, and hope you have a great one.
Thank you so much. Talk soon. Bye-bye.